realfaith.org.au.
That was a particularly hard time of my life. You know, I look back now and I think God was really there, but at the time, I felt abandoned by everyone, by my family, by God, because I felt, you know, the way the surgery was explained to me was that it was extremely risky. I could potentially die, but also I'd had a rough time. I was not raised with my biological father. He would come and say hello, but then he'd say, "I don't want anything to do with you."
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, a while ago on the program, we had Kim Black as our guest. She was born blind, and she shared about her experiences and how she came to put her faith in the Lord. And I'm happy to report that since that time, we have obtained some software for editing for the blind, and now she's helping me with editing, and it's been a wonderful experience. Welcome back to the program, Kim Black.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. I only have one complaint about your editing. Your default mode seems to be every time you need to shorten something, you just edit me out every time.
I think I said in my last interview that American accents are pretty annoying for me, so.
Well, that seems to be a bit of a problem. But other than that, you're just doing a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And seriously, you have a special friend that you'd like to introduce us to today?
Yeah, I've brought along my friend Terry Higgins, who I met 3 or 4 years ago at church. And she's got an incredible story and, like myself, has had some challenges growing up with disability and that kind of thing. So I've brought her along to share with us today. Welcome to the program, Terry.
Thanks, Kim.
Great to have you with us and looking forward to hearing your story.
So we'll go back to the very beginning. Growing up, what was life like for you?
I was raised primarily by my mother, with a bit of influence with my grandparents also. But yeah, mostly by my mother, and could have been a little bit of a difficult time as I was quite ill in my younger years. I was diagnosed with cancer when I was 2.5. And
how did they know something was different?
So when I was about 2, I was falling over a lot, migraines, different things that were just not normal for a 2-year-old child. And my mother took me to a GP. GP said, "Dunno, go back home." We went back about 3 times, and eventually the GP said, "I'll take her to the emergency department, the Royal Children's," because they noted my left arm wasn't working. So we went there, we had a number of tests, and they discovered a large tumour in my spinal cord.
Was that the only tumour that you had?
At the time, yes. It was found in my spinal cord after an MRI, and my mother was told that I had less than 5% chance of survival.
Wow.
And if I did survive, that I would probably only get about 5 years, if that. So there was a lot of prayer going on in the church that I went to with my grandparents, with my mum. And straight away they had me on chemotherapy and also did some spinal surgery to debunk the tumour and relieve pressure, which unfortunately they found wasn't working after several attempts. So after that, they actually took off part of my spine in order to relieve pressure, but just left the tumours alone. It wasn't until about 6 months later, when I was about 3, they thought the tumour had spread to my brain, but in fact, it was a different type of cancer, which they discovered 11 years later.
Just a separate cancer not related to the original one? Is
that
what
correct.
You're saying?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So you, at this point, have cancer in your spinal cord and tumours in your brain as well?
That's correct. Which was incredibly scary for my family. For me, being a child, I wasn't particularly afraid, although, of course, I didn't know exactly what was going on being so young. The biggest issue I had was being in the hospital, having chemotherapy and surgery. I was afraid then, not because of the possibility of dying, but because I was so sick, and obviously my mother couldn't stay all the time. So being left with nurses or with other family members, that was particularly scary for me, not knowing where my mother was and being on heavy doses of chemo, not being well. But my grandma and my mum and my grandpa really led me in my faith in that stage, when they would pray with me a lot. We'd talk about God and pray about God, and you know, for my mum as well, because she was young, and so she was afraid of obviously losing her child, but not knowing what to do, not being in that situation.
Were you her first child?
Yes, I'm her only child.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned feeling sick a lot at that stage in your life. What was happening? Do you remember how you were feeling and what was happening for you?
Yes, look, I think throwing up a lot because of the chemo, and generally in a lot of pain. So part of the draining the tumour, when they did that would relieve the pressure, but when they found that it kept filling back up, they stopped doing it, and I still had that pain from the pressure. So I had a lot of pain, particularly my left, which was the arm that was paralysed, and there wasn't a lot of relief except for heavy painkillers, which we had to be careful with being so young. And just sick from chemo, you know, not a nice feeling, really.
So they didn't really, I mean, just being honest, they didn't think you were going to make it.
No, they didn't. The approach was generally more or less treat now rather than prevent, which then caused issues in the later years with my spine.
So for you, how did that impact your movement? You mentioned that your left arm was already paralysed. Was there anything else going on? How has that affected even your physical appearance?
Yeah, look, the surgery that they did and the treatments they gave me, so they did spinal surgery on me 3 times, and they also gave me 3 rounds of high-dose chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
Wow.
For me, the spinal surgery caused what is called the swan neck deformity. Basically means your spine goes in an extreme S shape. So the top half bends over and the bottom half sort of bends back, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But that has caused some severe pain, some height loss. So I've actually lost quite a bit of height. The radiotherapy meant that I actually didn't grow properly. I haven't ever grown past the height of about a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it made an impact in my schooling as well, being short, being unable to move my left side properly. You know, in kinder, the other children were crossing the monkey bars while I was standing, staring at the monkey bars, trying to figure out how on earth I could do it, because, of course, I wanted to be like all the other kids.
Yeah. So you're saying that you went to just a regular school?
Yes. I went to an average kinder, average school.
But maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. We thought you weren't even going to make it.
Yes.
But yet, here you are saying that you went to kindergarten.
Yeah. It's, by the grace of God, really, there was an awful lot of prayer going on, and I really think God has definitely been in my life, you know, with the rounds of chemo, the rounds of radiotherapy. We tried naturopath remedies. My mother was saving to take me to America to find some other miracle treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we never made it to America. But the tumour did shrink, or stop growing, rather.
Oh, excellent.
When I was about 8, I believe. The cancer diagnosis, the fact that we found it in time enough, because it's a fast-moving tumour,
mm-hmm.
Is a miracle in itself. We had treatment that eventually did something, including a naturopath treatment that my mother believes definitely did something. And then, of course, when I was older, I developed epilepsy when I was in my preteen years and teen years.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for about 4 years. It was quite a substantial amount. And we found I was seizing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Seizures, yes, every kind,
wow.
Non-stop. So some of them you could tell, some of them you couldn't tell that I was seizing. And we believed that they were caused by the tumours in my brain, which after multiple tests and medications and all that, I had brain surgery. But I guess the thing that really was important in that was that I had a test to see what was happening in my brain and with those tumours. And essentially they wanted me to have seizures during this time so they could see what was going on. And I'd had all these types of seizures except for this one particular kind that they really needed to see.
And well, that's kind of different. They wanted you to have seizures,
yes.
But in order to diagnose you better. Is that the idea?
That's correct. So I was in the hospital, and I remember being incredibly upset, incredibly
frustrated.
And this
frustrated. Is at what age?
I would have been 14 at the time, I believe. And I was in the hospital, and I was praying and praying because I was incredibly frustrated. I hadn't had this seizure. I'd been sleep deprived in order to have seizures, and I was obviously at the end of my tether. Everyone was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Dear God," and that was it. I had a seizure. I had the seizure I needed to have.
Just after saying, "Dear God."
Dear God. So God knew before I could even say what I needed. And so I had that seizure, and that was it. That was the end of that testing, really.
Did they find out whatever they needed to know?
Yes. So a few months later, they did brain surgery on me, and the last seizure I had was about half an hour before that surgery, and I've not seen since.
Wow.
Incredible. And obviously, having all these seizures all the time, sometimes not even people around you not even recognizing they were happening, that would have affected you too. I assume that you went through high school and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So I originally started at one school, and I actually had to leave that school and go to a different school because there actually wasn't enough care there for me to stay there. And one of the instances was I actually got hit by a car, thankfully at low speed, and my friend's car, actually, in the car park of the school grounds because I had a seizure, and in the seizure walked out into the middle of the car park.
Whoa.
And again, thanks to God, it was in the car park, it was low speed, and it was my friend who knew exactly what was happening once they saw me and brought me back in and got me home somehow. I don't remember how, but so yeah, it certainly impacted my schooling, it impacted my learning. I didn't learn for about 2 years straight because of the seizures.
Our guest today is Terry Higgins, sharing her story, and unfortunately, as we've been hearing, she's gone through some severe health challenges. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out more of her story right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and my special co-host today is Kim Black, and she's introduced us to her friend, Terry Higgins, and today we're hearing her story. Before the break, we heard how, unfortunately, she's gone through some severe health challenges. At this point in her story, she's in her high school years. Now, here's more of Terry Higgins' story.
I think, you know, it was really, really important for me during that time, I think, with God in my schooling, and that, you know, I would pray, you know, oh God, you know, help me with this test, and it was a minute prayer. It was something I said, you know, I was schooling, it doesn't really matter at the time, but it does matter because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do what everybody else was doing still and go ahead and get a job when I was older and, you know, go to TAFE or uni. And, you know, he answered my prayers. I did pass my tests and I did go to TAFE.
I just think of myself being in school and the things that I battled and the ways I was treated, and it was certainly nothing on that scale. But, you know, I just remember being really angry and hating the world and the fact that, you know, I just wanted to give up. Was there ever a moment in time where you just wondered what the point of it all was, or you just wanted to give up? Or was it really just about commitment to prayer for you?
No, for sure. There was definitely there were times where I did want to give up. You know, I wasn't treated nicely in my schooling from the get-go, in kinder, all the way through to the end of high school.
Were kids picking on you and stuff?
Yeah.
I guess you look different, and so it made you an easy target for them?
Yeah, in primary school, I remember being, because I was shorter, the children would, you know, push me over or steal my hat.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's just cruel.
Yeah. You know, I had surgery in VCE years. I had spinal surgery again. Due to, you know, I was saying my spine has been bent. Due to the surgeries and medications that I had when I was younger. Well, it was so bent at this time that they were worried that the spine was going to collapse in on itself.
Wow.
The only real hope then was to have a spinal surgery, which usually they would put a rod in to straighten your spine, but with mine it was so bent, and because the tumour was still in my spinal cord, they couldn't straighten my spine. What they did is they actually took a rib out and put it in my spine to hold it up.
Wow. I didn't even know they could do that.
And by this time, you're a bit older now too. Was there any fear? Were you wondering, like, am I ever going to make it out of this? Even though you're now 17 or 18 and you've survived a lot longer than the doctors thought you would. What was going through your mind at that time?
For sure. At that point in time, I guess that was a particularly hard time of my life. You know, I look back now and I think God was really there, but at the time I felt abandoned by everyone, by my family, by God, because I felt, you know, the way the surgery was explained to me was that it was extremely risky. I could potentially die. But also, I'd had a rough time. I was not raised with my biological father. I had tried to keep in contact over these years with him, but he didn't particularly treat me very well, and essentially sort of he would come and say hello, but then he'd say, I don't want anything to do with you.
Oh, wow.
And so at this point in time, I suppose really needing my father or a father figure at the time, I felt very, very depressed, and I actually at one stage tried to take my own life, which was probably one of my darkest moments.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Being despondent after all you've been through, certainly understandable.
So at that point, I was at the lowest point of my life, trying to take my own life, and really feeling quite abandoned. And it wasn't until I then started thinking about, you know, in those dark times, will I ever have a family? Will I ever get married? Will I ever have children? You know, these are the things I desperately, desperately wanted, and everyone I had met in that sense, you know, I had a boyfriend who was not nice to me at all, and I moved on from him. And then I was starting to give up, and I met Zach, who is now my husband. And meeting Zach was probably where I realised that God was still there, because I had moved away from God. I realised that, and I'd started praying and sort of said, okay, God, if you're there, give me some kind of sign, you know, help me. And, you know, my parents, or my mother and my grandparents were still praying for me at this point. And, you know, Zach turned up, and one day, you know, I brought him home one day. We decided we were dating, and I brought him home one day, and he hadn't yet met my mother, and we were a bit worried about this.
Why?
And he said, my mum was very cautious, very protective of me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And understandable.
I thought maybe she might get a bit annoyed, a bit angry, or we weren't really sure how she'd take it. So he said, would your mother mind? And I said, make her momos, which is a dumpling type of dish. So she came home, and here he was.
Is that her soft spot?
Yeah, sort of. She came home and said, who's this boy in my house? What's he doing? And she certainly warmed up to him a little bit after that. I have a few visits.
Momos. That did the trick.
Yes.
Well, they say the best way to a man's heart is always through his stomach, but I think it's fair to say that going by this story and my own experiences, the same is definitely true for a woman.
Indeed.
So what happened next?
So at that point, we continued on dating, and Zach and I had a serious conversation. I said, look, I don't date just for the sake of dating. I date for the idea of being together for life, the eventual marriage. I'm a Christian. You know, I'd want this to be a God-honouring relationship. If you're serious about this relationship, you'll ask my parents if you can marry me. And at that point, I actually had a stepdad in the picture. So Zach went to my mum's work one day and said, I want to talk to you. And he said, oh, can I marry your daughter? My mother said, what about this? You know, what if she can't have children? What if? And you better take good care of her.
I really like the sound of this mother of yours.
Yeah, she's a pretty good one.
Well, tell us about Zach. Is he a Christian as well?
He wasn't at the time. So this was the interesting part. He wasn't a Christian. He'd sort of steered clear of any kind of religion until I said, look, I'm Christian. I'd like it if you learn about God, but I'm not going to force you into it. Of course, I started coming to church. And after coming for probably a month, one day Zach turned up and he started to really, really learn about Christ. And he started asking questions and reading the Bible with me. And, you know, I'd been praying, you know, God, you know, teach him teach him about yourself, reveal yourself to him, and just let, you know, let him be open to knowing you. And that certainly happened. Time passed, he came to church, he learned to love Christ, and he then proposed after becoming a Christian. And we later on, after about 2 years of being engaged, got married with many, many of our friends and family, which was a miracle in itself. We, you know, we from the beginning of time thinking that I wasn't going to live, and then, you know, thinking I'd never meet anyone. And then here we were standing in the chapel getting married.
Wow. I mean, when you were walking down that aisle, I can just imagine what you must have been thinking.
I was bawling my eyes. I was so happy. And
I can imagine what it would have been like for your mum too, like, you know, watching you as a 2.5-year-old with 5% chance of survival, and then seeing you all beautiful dressed up on your wedding day. I think one thing that's really standing out to me is that the way God sort of delivers us, I suppose. Like, you were at a really low point of taking your own life and wondering if you were ever going to meet anyone that you could share your life with. And then this amazing man turns up, and he's really changed your life, and his own life has really changed as a result of this as well. And he too has been transformed by Christ.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely that God is always there. He had his hand in everything. And, yeah, I think my mum, you know, my mum had been praying, and she was pretty happy. I just think, I remember she walked me down the aisle, and I remember, you know, being held by my stepdad and my mum walking down the aisle thinking, thank you, God, this is, you know, you really have delivered everything I ever wanted, from, you know, getting better, being able to move a bit better, to having the surgeries, to having the seizures disappear, and various, you know, different treatments, just getting them to work. And then, of course, another one for us was the really big movement after we married. We talked about having children, and we questioned whether I could have children. So we did. We went to a hospital, and they said, we'll do these tests, and they said, oh, look, you're capable of having children, but we don't recommend it. We're not going to support it, because it's pretty likely that you could die, or if you didn't die, the child would die. Which, again, I was feeling pretty low at the point, and, you know, Zach, we prayed, and I said, I think for me one of the biggest moments was when I said, please, for the next appointment, give us a turnaround. And so we went back to the hospital, and I had asked in the previous appointment for a second opinion. I came back and they said, we've got this opinion back. This lady says, yes, you could have children. Yes, it's risky, but it's certainly plausible. And at that moment, I cried. I said, thank you, God, for, you know, answering my prayer. And they did move us to another hospital. I went to another hospital who they redid all the tests for their own documentation, and they said, yeah, it's definitely possible. Come back when you're pregnant.
Wow.
And how long did it take you to get pregnant?
Probably took 2 months.
2 months?
Wow. 2 months. It was not long at all.
That's incredible.
And the first one, we actually had a miscarriage the first time, which was very sad. But the second one, when we fell pregnant, it was one of those feelings you just know God was there. And he's a miracle. He's now about to turn 3. Cheeky, smiley little fella.
That's your boy, Matthew?
Yes,
as you said, 3 years old.
And he really is a gorgeous little guy. He's full of life and happiness, and he's a joy to have around. And against all odds, you've got not just one, but 2 children. You've also got a 5-month-old daughter now.
Yeah, I was going to say, my wife Jean is in the studio next to us, babysitting your 5-month-old daughter, Rachel.
Yes.
And she, well, my wife is really enjoying this. But you're a mother of 2. We're running out of time, but how can we wrap this all up?
It's certainly, oh, God. Mm. I look at them and I see, and you know, I think, I could have died when I was his age. And they could have had a disability. They could have come out
incredibly. Both healthy?
They're both healthy. They're both fine. There's not a drop wrong with them. Healthy, delivered, full-term babies.
And you got through the pregnancy, obviously, and you're okay?
Yeah, they were worried about many things, but we had a textbook pregnancy. It was
wow.
It was amazing.
Wow, it just shows God really can use any situation for his own glory, can't he? He can really turn anything around, and yeah, we praise him for that.
Amen. And mm-hmm. finally, how are you doing health-wise?
I'm fine. I don't have any issues now. I generally get on with life, I suppose, as much as any other person would. The occasional pain here and there, but not really. I do struggle with some things. You know, not being able to use my left arm properly means that I can't hold two kids at once. Mm.
And I guess now with Matthew being older and running around and all of those things, he's a lot harder to lift and definitely keeps you on your toes a lot more.
He certainly does. But, God has given him some good sense. It's one of the joys that I hear on a regular basis. I say to him, "What do you want to learn?" And he says, "I want to learn about Jesus."
Wow.
And that's a good reminder for me that Jesus really is, mm-hmm. you know, he's really in my life. He's there all the time.
Well, Terry Higgins, thank you so much for sharing your inspiring story with us today.
Not a problem. It was a pleasure.
And Kim, thank you so much for introducing us to Terry.
Thanks, Eric. It's been a joy to hear her share her story, and it's been great working for you over the last few months and having these opportunities.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.